Welcome to Best to the Nest, the podcast hosted by me, Elizabeth Reese, and you.
Marjorie Bunnett.
Marjorie Bunnett.
Even sounds slurry this morning, doesn't it?
It's been a morning. Oh, it's been a morning. And what a wonderful way to start the day when we are talking about morning chaos and how to get your day under control.
Doesn't it seem like we manifested it?
It totally does.
We manifested chaos so that we could be in the right mind frame to talk about it.
I overbooked myself a little bit this week. I'm not going to lie. I had a very early corporate speaking gig. I also then signed up to do 2 fill-in days of morning radio.
Morning radio, give us the hours.
So 5:30 to 9.
Yeah. Early morning radio. That's what we call it.
Very early morning radio. And then continuing on with my regular day, which was the regular TV show in the afternoon. I happened to have an on-location TV show yesterday, so I was driving across town. It was just kind of chaos. And then this morning, of course, it all culminates as we're going to be discussing mornings in my husband saying to me as I'm on the radio and he's supposed to take the kids, I have a flat tire. That's what he said. He had a flat tire. So it was troubleshooting. Okay, I'm going to go take the kids so that you can stay here and deal with a flat tire, and I still have a car and the whole rigmarole. But I made it on time. The only thing I haven't had so far is coffee.
That's all you've had is coffee this
morning? No, I haven't even had coffee.
You haven't even had coffee. Oh my goodness.
I had a cup of tea and like a sad little bowl of Cheerios, which never happens to me. It was the only thing I could wolf down in between the breaks.
Yeah, it's just I was watching your day on Instagram. And so that's how I can guide, like, okay, should I text her now? Should I wait now? Because I was just watching the whole day as it was progressing. I'm like, this is insane. This is insane. And then of course, this morning, you know, I have a little bit of a weird morning when I do these podcasts. I don't have a car. So you know that about me.
I know.
I don't have a car.
It's so cool.
I choose not to have a car. I've sort of lived my life and I moved to a place where I didn't need one. And I work for Arizona State University. I live in Tempe. I work in downtown Phoenix. They have an express shuttle that employees can use and students can use, and it's wonderful. So I take that in the morning to work, but I have no way to get where I'm broadcasting from now. And so I go down to work. I pick up, I'm part of Enterprise Car Share. I pick up a car downtown, and then I drive here, which works pretty well.
That's a production, though.
It is a little bit of a production, but it's fine. It is no problem, except on a morning when I forget my headphones. Which, of course, was this morning. So I've already been in Tempe, in downtown Phoenix, back to Tempe to get my headphones, and then back to Phoenix.
And here we are.
Morning chaos.
Morning chaos. Yes. Okay, so you know, if you listen to Best to the Nest 101, you got the rundown of what this podcast is about. Marjorie and I are really on a mission and on a journey here to try to make our homes the best place that they can be so that when you go out into the world, you are happy and healthy and calm.
And calm.
Which is the opposite
calm.
Of how we're both feeling
calm.
Right now. So
Elizabeth,
that's
we gotta be calm.
That's why we stress that it's a journey. This is more like a let's all walk together. We're not like leading this race.
No, right today, this morning, close to last. Although we're here. So I think that moves us to the middle.
That is absolutely true. And I just want to say, before we get to our first guest, our very first guest on Best to the Nest, a big thank you to all of you who have listened so far and reached out via social media, because Marjorie and I did a radio show together for several years at MyTalk 107.1 in the Twin Cities. We loved having conversations both on the air and off the air. This podcast is essentially the conversations that we would have off the air that you didn't get to hear if you listened to our radio show. And so many people have reached out and said, I missed hearing your voices together.
Oh,
I missed
you.
The conversation, and it just warmed my heart and it made me so, so happy. And it made me, in the midst of a very hectic week, just so look forward to this time that we were going to have together.
I love that. I love that so much because I really have missed talking to you. I've missed talking to all of the people that were part of the MyTalk family when we are on MyTalk 107.1. It's a radio station in the Twin Cities. And so this is just as much a joy. It's such a joy for us. It is such a joy for us.
It is so much fun. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about mornings today. And we're also going to talk about supporting other women and really looking for opportunities to support women and support moms and support people that you maybe see a little bit of yourself in.
Right.
I think that's a really easy way to get started with that. When you can see someone maybe going through something that you've been through, to reach out with empathy and reach out with your perspective and just reach out with some open arms and some support. And so our very first guest on Best to the Nest. What is this called again, Marjorie?
Best to the Mest.
Shoot, I need some coffee.
You know what? It's Best to the Mess. this morning.
It's a mess. It's a messy nest. Our first guest is Alice Seufert. Okay, Marjorie, you and Alice have never met, have you?
No, you've never met. I feel like I have met her through her blog.
I think so too. So Alice Seufert is a blogger. She writes a blog called Dining with Alice. She's a fabulous writer. A lot of her pieces on parenting and motherhood have gotten picked up by things like the Huffington Post and Scary Mommy. She also happens to be a regular cooking contributor on Twin Cities Live. We found Alice, oh my gosh, probably like 8 years ago when we did a Twin Cities Live Kitchen Star competition, and Alice won. And she's been coming in and cooking on our show ever since.
I didn't know that was the history.
That was awesome. That was how we met Alice. And then we ended up, Alice and I, just really connecting. And so Alice and I cook together regularly on the show and then see each other. And I just adore her. So I'm so happy that Alice is joining us on Best to the Nest. Welcome, Alice.
Good morning, Alice.
Hi. Thank you.
Oh, we're so happy that you're here. How was your morning as we talked about our morning chaos?
Well, it's like 10 below here in Minnesota. So we have to, you know, in all of the shuffle of everything we do in the morning, it's getting all the winter gear on and making sure we make the bus on time. But we did it. So
That's a whole new level of chaos when you're talking about Minnesota weather or anybody that's in the Midwest where it's cold. Because it's, you know, getting your kids out the door, it's 20 extra pieces of clothing that you have to worry about and match. You need two gloves. You know, you need all those things.
Exactly.
It is so true. Okay, so Alice, you are a wife, a mother, you're working, you have two little ones. Tell us about your kids.
Yeah, so I have two kids. Stella is in third grade and she's nine. And then Wes is in kindergarten and he's six. And I work outside the home. I work for our local school district. And I work 4 days a week and then outside the home. And then I do have my... my business of running Dining with Alice and being a contributing writer to different websites. And I'm married and my husband's name is Will. And he always says if he had a blog, it would be called Dishwashing. That I create in our kitchen cooking all the time.
Isn't that the truth? Well, Alice, you know, before we get into the mornings, because there are a couple of pieces that Alice has written that I want to talk about, we'll get to taking the chaos out of weekday mornings and we'll get you some really tangible ways that Alice has found that can help make your mornings better. And I think mornings are so important when it comes to making sure that your house feels settled and happy and that everyone feels like home is a good space. And I mean, don't you think that? If you screw up mornings.
That you have to feel good when you leave everybody sort of behind for the day.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really important conversation, but we're going to get there in a minute.
Alice, we're so excited that you're here. And Alice has always been that person for me that even though we don't see each other every day or like text each other every day or go to happy hours because we don't have time because we have tiny children. And Alice moved out to the suburbs. Alice, sorry, I'm outing you.
It's all your fault, Alice.
But Alice seems to be that person that gives me... like a little message or a little boost when I didn't even know I needed it. I think this is what's so beautiful about people who love to write, because Alice is a writer and Alice, you're so observant and you can tell when people are going through different things. And I'm sure that I'm not the only person who has told you that you are extremely thoughtful and there when they needed you, right? I mean, people tell you that, Alice.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I hear that I'm a good listener and that And I try and be there for people.
That is absolutely true. So Alice, when after I got married, my husband and I decided that we wanted to have a baby. We go ahead and, you know,
try.
You all can, we'll leave that to your imagination. Oh, isn't that funny when people say we're trying? I mean, it just means you're having a lot of sex, right? Everyone gets that.
You know, just in that moment, Elizabeth, I didn't want to go there. And then you paused right in that moment. It's okay, now I'm visualizing.
So here we are.
Here
we are.
Sorry, everybody.
So
you're trying, you're having lots of sex.
And we get pregnant, which is so exciting and so wonderful. And we were thrilled and scared and the whole deal. And it kind of came at a time when things were really tumultuous at work. So that was a little bit of an added layer of fear and uncertainty. And then what happened was I lost that pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So I started spotting, called the doctor, went in, and Jay and I found out that sadly we'd lost that baby that we still to this day refer to as the blueberry, because we were following our little app and the baby would have been the size of a blueberry.
Sweet pea.
When we lost the baby.
Sweet blueberry.
Sweet little blueberry. Yeah, but a little bit. bigger than a pea. Thank you, Marjorie.
Yes.
and so what happened was I took a day off at a time that I never, ever take days off. So in television, February is a ratings period. We're never allowed to take days off during February. And so I took an unexpected day off because I was at the doctor and dealing with this miscarriage. And I came back to work the next day. And Alice was on Twin Cities Live the next day, and she was, you were doing some sort of cooking segment, Alice, I'm sure, making something delicious.
I'm sure.
And
let's just note what you just said there, and went back to work the next day.
And went back to work the next day.
Perhaps 2 days would have been a good idea.
Perhaps.
Maybe a couple more.
And,
maybe through the weekend.
And to give my workplace a lot of credit, they said, are you sure?
And
of course can
you said,
take
yes,
another
I am.
Day.
And you're like, yes, I am.
And I said, I'm sure. I'm going back. Yeah. Right? I know. So I went to work. And actually, you know, it turned out to be just what I needed because I work with a group of really supportive people. I ended up telling them what had happened.
Right.
I felt very supported and very loved. And then Alice showed up. Alice said to me, hey, why weren't you here yesterday? Which that was very observant. Why weren't you on the show? And she said something to it. I said, well, I was out and I wasn't feeling well. And she kind of had that little look in her eye like, are you pregnant? Are you not feeling well because you're pregnant?
Right.
And I said to her, I had a miscarriage. And I remember Alice and I kind of going off to the side of the studio and talking about it. And Alice said, that happened to me too. And it was just like in that moment when you just needed to hear someone who'd been through the exact same experience. And then, Alice, how funny that I went on to have a girl and then a boy, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you. And I remember you saying to me, you are going like this. You will not feel completely, you know, you just not that you would ever feel completely healed, but you won't feel ready to move forward until you're holding your baby in your arms. And when that happens, you will feel not so empty about this right now. And it was just so like needed and helpful and supportive, and I could cry just talking about it.
Aww. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You got it, come on, you guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
How did you get through it? Was there somebody special who talked to you when you had a miscarriage?
Not really. And I guess that's why I'm getting... It's hard for me to talk about
I know.
It. But I guess we have to truth tell to each other.
Absolutely.
And that's how we get through hard things.
You know, and here it is. We've got two women crying. this is what hopefully talking about it, or if there's anybody out there that's going through a miscarriage or just has had one, we all feel your pain. And I had one when I was 24 with my first.
Look at that. See?
And it was an interesting, all of our voices are going to crack.
I know.
Because it still is such a sad thing to me, although it turned out to be such a blessing. And when you talk about a special person being in your life in just the right moment, I was really young and I was really, Elizabeth, you know me, I'm really headstrong.
Yeah.
I figure I'm going to get what I want. If I work hard, I can do it. Everything's within my control. And honestly, at 24, it was one of the first moments where I realized, and I was taking for granted the idea of what it was going to be to mean to be a mother. Because I used to say to my husband, you know, I'm going to have this baby, I'm going to be back in work in 2 days, and everything's, you know, it was just like 2 days, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, it was just going to be on my schedule because that's kind of how I felt like I got to live.
Mm-hmm.
And when I miscarried, the depth of the grief was so surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realized how much I wanted that baby. And I remember I was a news producer, and so I had to tell people at work, and I had already told everybody because it was past 3 months.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the sweetest person talk about, you know, mom supporting moms. How about sports guys supporting moms? Was our
6 and 10 sportscaster, our main anchor. And he was so sweet to me. I'll never forget it. The day after, everybody at work sort of knew because I was home. And I went to the door to answer the door. It was like just the day after. And there was the biggest bouquet of flowers you could ever imagine. He like filled my house with flowers. And that's all. I mean, I don't think he knew what to say to me. But it was just the most loving thing of acknowledging, I know you're in pain.
Yeah.
And there's a world out here that's waiting for you. And I think that sharing it is a good thing, because the people that love you or the people that want to make you feel better, just they just appear.
I think you're totally right. And Alice went on to write a piece that landed on Scary Mommy about why you regretted keeping your miscarriage a secret. I mean, what do you think about when you talk about that now, Alice?
Well, I do regret keeping it a secret, and I felt really alone, and I didn't talk to a lot of people about it. And Marjorie, I really resonate with some of what you were saying with, like, I'm a person who feels like I control a lot of my life, and I felt like this was a big spin out of control for me, and that and this is, you know, I really wanted to have a baby, and this wasn't happening anymore, and I minimized my grief. Well, you know, surely other people have it worse. Surely people were further along in their pregnancy. I didn't give space for myself to be sad, and I just bounced right back. I went to work. It was a big birthday time, like, so I had a big birthday celebration, and I went to it, and I just didn't give space for myself, but I just remember just feeling so alone, and that I didn't feel like anyone else was feeling what I possibly was feeling. And a lot of the things I write about because I'm not hearing it in other places. And so I just put it out there.
Yeah.
And I hear from a lot of people like, oh, I'm so glad you shared that, because that's how I felt too. And I think for me with this, and I totally remember that conversation and with Elizabeth, and it was, and my intention was that, is that I did not want her to feel the feelings of loneliness, and also I also wanted her to know the reality of the expectation of the grief that was ahead of her, and that it wouldn't just go away in a week. And when she did get pregnant again, it would keep surfacing. I mean, for me, it surfaced every doctor's appointment.
Yep.
It was still grieving. I was still scared. Even my next pregnancy, I mean, I remember, like, every time they would put the Doppler on my belly, I would start to cry like, you know, is this the end for this pregnancy? And you know, I had great medical care. One of my doctors during my son, I mean, that it happened quite a few times, and I joked I had my most ultrasounds with my son, because I would get upset and she'd be like, oh, it's a great day to go see baby, let's go. That really helped me.
Yeah, it is. I think you said something that I think is really important for women to think about and to sort of internalize, is from the moment you find out that you're pregnant, you feel like you're a mom.
Yeah, that's your baby.
And so it's your baby. And so it doesn't, like, to say, oh, I didn't feel like I should grieve because I wasn't as far along as other people. It's the moment you become a mom. Mm-hmm. Is when you, because in that moment, that's the moment you find out you're pregnant. That's when you feel like, oh my goodness, I have to protect this. I have to take care of this. You know, that's the moment. So that's what it's all about. It's that mix of, you know, expectation and the beginning to dream and the beginning to feel that responsibility. All of those floods of emotions and hormones and all of those things start, you know, when, you know, the moment you're pregnant. And so I think it's not about how long you carry it or how long, it's just a fundamental grief that I think is okay. And not only okay, is essential to talk about.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you have to talk about it. And I hope that moment for me, Alice, with you, I mean, giving me like a little bit of the idea of the longevity was so important, but also that connection and how much that meant to me. I mean, you don't even know this, but my best friend miscarried her first pregnancy several months after that. And I remember thinking, like, talking to her so much and talking, saying some of the same words that you said to me to her, and saying, essentially, I thought, if I had to go through that in order to make it just a little bit easier for my best friend, I'm happy I had to do that.
Oh, that's
because I just wanted it to be not as hard for her.
And Alice, to your point about, you know, when you have when you finally have a baby in your arms, the pain doesn't go away. But what does happen, at least for me, I mean, I think everybody's experience is different, is, you know, my older son is 28, 27, 20. I can't even remember in this moment. He's in his 20s. And when he was in my arms, I felt so much gratitude to my first baby, to my mm-hmm. first pregnancy, because I felt like I am going to, it informed everything about how I became a mother after that, because mm-hmm. I really couldn't take it for granted.
Yeah.
I couldn't take for granted that I was so lucky to have this baby in my arms. I have three older sisters, and all of us had either miscarriages or trouble getting pregnant. So within mm-hmm. our family, there was just this huge gratitude for every baby that came along. And mm-hmm. so in hindsight, I am grateful for that pain, and I was grateful for that moment. And quite frankly, you know, in the spin of the universe, my older son Gar and my younger son Campbell, the two boys that I have raised, would not be here but for that.
Right.
So it's a way to sort of contextualize it and sort of and deal with that grief when they were younger. But it's so important, I think, for women to know that as much as you can talk about it and to have people sort of hold your hand, it's an important thing.
Alice, you were there in that moment. I mean, that was a big moment for me. So thank you for that. And I think that's what, so this is just such an example of looking for those opportunities to connect mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. other moms who, again, you, or other women. I mean, in general, I think having those opportunities to connect and to say, how can I, you know, just say the thing that I wish that I would have heard instead mm-hmm. of not talking about it at all is just so, so important. And it was, that was a real pivotal thing. And then you get these babies, hopefully, and to anybody dealing with infertility, I mean, what a struggle, and the, just the constant stress and disappointment. I know, Alice, you talked about being nervous throughout your pregnancy. When I was pregnant with Bernie, I would not take a pregnancy test until I was one day past the day that I miscarried. It was 8 weeks, 6 days before I would take the pregnancy test. And my husband was like, you are pregnant. He's like, you are pregnant. This is happening. You are pregnant. He's like, you have had you've been late two times in your whole life. This time and the last time, you are pregnant. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I had like this mental block. And then as soon as it hit 8 weeks, 6 days, it was like the cloud lifted. And I just went to the drugstore, bought a pregnancy test, took it, and was like, here we go.
And then we have all these babies. And then what happens?
Then we move on to having those babies every day and having this household full of chaos.
Yes, they live with us every day.
I know. And it is, I mean, it is definitely, I think, helpful to always to remember and to talk through that story of the journey that it took to become pregnant when you're in the throes of it. Because some days are better than others.
Yes.
And we're going to shift a little bit to talk about these mornings. Marjorie and I touched on the chaos of our morning earlier. So did Alice. Alice, when you think about ways that you have kind of instituted getting your mornings under control. Well, first, let's back up. What does a morning mean to you? I mean, how important is it to have a great morning at your house?
Well, I guess I would just back up just even a little bit and say, I think that being vulnerable in motherhood is the biggest way for us to make connections with each other.
Yay.
And yes.
I think that means talking about really hard things like miscarriages. It also means talking about mistakes and things that we're struggling with. And I think that, you know, morning chaos is definitely one of those things. But I think to your question about, like, you know, a good morning, I mean, it sets the tone for you if you work outside the home, sets the rest of your day. I know I always think about, like, you know, how do my kids, you know, go to school? Like, if we have a really bad morning, that really just eats me up inside about, like, that we left on bad terms, or that I wasn't at my best. Like, I think about that a lot. Like, am I giving my best to my kids? And it's hard because, like, what I'll think about is, you know, the irony of it is, like, if when the days that we do have a really bad morning, you know, I'll think to myself, you know, all day at work, I'm like, okay, we're just gonna, like, the minute I see them, we are gonna have some great moments. And then, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen that way, and we're shuffling, and we're, you know, struggling over different things, and, you know, but I mean, really, there's just not perfection in parenting and in motherhood. And I think, like, for us, we have to be vulnerable and have those conversations that there are some big challenges, especially in mornings, but there are things that we can control, and there are things that we can do so that, you know, we do leave our homes and go to work with you know, hearts feeling good and our kids ready to learn and that we can connect back up. And it doesn't have to be perfect. But again, I think there's, you know, some things that are in our power to control and that we can do better on too.
You're absolutely right. And I think that's key, is that I think mourning and avoiding sort of mourning chaos, or at least having a sense of humor in the midst of it, is so key, because like you said, it is the one thing you can control. It's the one thing that sets everybody's day off just right. And again, it's not about perfection, but I think it's about intention. And I think those are some of the things that you wrote a wonderful blog about, it about you deciding that you wanted to have peaceful, calm mornings. That was with intention. We don't have to have chaos in the morning. And so I think it's interesting, some of the things, if you want to talk about some of the things that you do with your family to make sure that you guys get out the door as best you can every morning in a calm and peaceful way.
Yeah. I think about, like, whenever you get, you know, whenever you're worrying, like when you worry about things or when you're upset about things, I always, like, whether it's with my kids or with my husband, I always, like, I stop and I pull back and I say, like, okay, what are the things that we can control?
Yeah.
Right.
Situation. That's like my go-to, like, what can we control? You know, we can't always, we have to have that expectation. We can't always have, you know, these calm and perfect mornings. And our bus driver, he would tell you that 2 weeks ago I was so late. I drove my kids down 2 blocks to the bus stop, honked the horn, flew the doors open, got my kids on the bus. So it's not always as I hope, but I would say there's a few things. So the first I would say is talk about and set your expectations. So I do talk to my kids about how I hope the morning will go and we talk about, like, we have to, you know, I can't just say that what my expectations are once. We talk about it a lot. One of our big things here is they can't eat breakfast until they're dressed for school.
That has been the biggest thing that has saved me.
Yes. Like, I just say, like, they'll come down, they'll be sitting at the kitchen stools here, and I'll say, nope, back upstairs, you got to be ready for school, because we all know having kids, like, kids can make mealtime last as long as possible. And
this was happening to me, Alice, too, and I was, then the amount of times, like, the battle of getting dressed after was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So the rule is, you can't, no breakfast till you're dressed.
Yeah, clothes on for breakfast.
Okay, yeah. I love that.
I think that the breakfast is out in the morning, like, sitting here waiting for them, but they're not to sit down until they have their clothes on. It's also, like, you know, part of it is, like, I set the expectation of what they need to have organized and get ready. My husband and I, usually Sunday, we set the schedule, so that I think the worst when we have, like, an unexpected scheduling thing, like, oh, we're both supposed to be at a meeting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Today. So really working through our schedule a lot. And that means, like, and I think with all of these things, it's all about planning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I always say, because I do a lot of, like, meal prep and freezer planning, meal prep planning and that kind of stuff. It takes time on the front end, like, to do all of that work, right? It takes time to sit down. It takes time to write out your meal. But you get that extra time later. So if you're in a different way, you know, so you're kind of buying time in the future, I think.
Yeah, but you're buying time and you're buying, like, a feeling of calm, really. Yeah.
That you've got this.
Because you get it. If you're preparing in advance, you're calm generally while you're doing the advance planning, and then you're calm on the execution end versus the catch-up is chaos, and you're just so much more likely to snap.
Well, what I love, too, is that idea of lunch prep on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's brilliant that you talk about in your blog, because I think it goes back to what you're saying is, if you're organized, it just makes everything that much easier. You shouldn't be trying to make the lunches in the morning where you've already sort of, you know, the clock is already ticking.
So that's what I would say is, like, one of my next tips. I would say meal and lunch prep. And, like, how does that have to do with your mornings? But I usually pack it, if not all, like, half of the lunches on Sundays or sometime on the weekend, because my kids take cold lunch. And so, I found if I have to do it that morning, it's just a trigger for chaos for me. And so I have to recognize that. And so I bought a bunch of meal containers and I do it ahead of time, or the kids help me. I have a meal board in my kitchen, so I write out everything. They like to look at it and they look and see what, I mean, even simple as breakfast, like, I write when the kids are eating yogurt on the board.
It's so good.
If my significant other can't go down and get the yogurt. Like, it's just, it takes, sometimes when you're just, you haven't had enough coffee or your mind's not ready for the day, it's easy to just look at that board. Okay, today we're having toast or what. It doesn't have to be fancy, like whatever. The next thing I would say is, you know, getting things ready the night before, or even having the kids get it ready. Like, my youngest is in kindergarten. He can get his snow pants, boots. He can make sure he has his take-home folder in his backpack. He can put his lunch bag in there. He can do all that stuff and get that ready. I have a rule with my kids that I'll bring one forgotten item to school once a year. So tell you what, that has worked. It works. And I'll say, you get one pass. It's like, you know, the free, it's like the homework pass that teachers give out.
For sure.
That's great.
I'll give you one pass. And so, well, you know, if they forget their lunch, I can always have them take hot lunch. But I'm talking about, like, you know, their media book, or, you know, if they have their boots. Like, both my kids have worn boots for the day because
they forgot their shoes.
They redeemed their boot pass for the year. But I think that's part of, like, giving them some ownership of getting their stuff ready. But the other thing, too, like, I really struggle when my husband travels and I'm doing everything. Like, it's very hard for me. And I know that about myself. And I've had days where I know I have to get out for a meeting, and I've had my kids sleep in their school clothes so that and get their fresh clothes on for bed, and then they wake up and we're halfway ready,
and then we're gone.
Wait! Back up! Your kids wear their clothes to bed?
Not every night, but I'm talking about, like, if my husband is trapped and I'm alone. And I know there's lots of stuff to get done. I have used that in the past.
I think this is brilliant.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
And I don't want to take all the credit for it. Another mom gave me that tip. So
I think that's super smart when you know you're going to be short. Just make it happen.
How do the kids feel about that?
Well, it's not like it happens all the time.
No. But even in the moment, do they think it's kind of funny?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's kind of like, you know, backwards.
Right.
Oh, they think it's hilarious,
like,
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. And I think you hit on something which I think is really important, because I'm out of caring for people in the morning. Alice, two, my sons both live with me here in Arizona because they're both, well, one just graduated from graduate school and the other one's in graduate school. And so they're in school. Obviously, I'm not responsible for their mornings. They do whatever. That would be scary if I were. But that idea of ownership, actually, that came to our family by necessity. I started doing the radio show, a radio show with my husband, and our studio was in our house. So I was home broadcasting, but I was not available to them to help them. So they were in third and fifth grade, I think, at the time. So, you know, sometimes that's still a struggle for that age, is because, you know, whether the kids are on the phone or whatever. In those days, they weren't. But, I mean, I think even if kids are out of sort of that toddler phase, it doesn't mean the mornings actually get easier. You know, when you think your kids are going to be responsible for themselves, it doesn't actually mean that they are. So they were in third and fifth grade. And what was kind of cool is I was in the studio broadcasting. We had a little on-air light, you know, on our door at home. So they knew they couldn't come in the studio and ask for anything. I would check on them during commercial breaks, but they were responsible to get themselves ready for school, make themselves, you know, their lunches, you know, make themselves breakfast. And then at 7:50 in the morning, I would leave the radio show and I would drive them to school. So we had very thin margins of, and I had to be back by 8:04 after that commercial break at the top of the hour. So they were pretty thin margins. And the interesting thing about it was they loved it. They loved that they were completely independent and they were capable. I mean, they were like 8 and 10 or 11. They were completely capable to feed themselves, you know, to get their own breakfast, to make their own lunch, to get their boots, to get all that stuff ready to go. But I know for a fact that if I hadn't been on the air, I still would have been micromanaging that, because I know myself.
Yeah, we don't give them enough credit to do things on their own.
And I think just we had to learn that by necessity. So I would say that to all the moms out there, you know, disconnect a little bit when your kids are, when they really are showing that they're self-sufficient, because they are. They really, really are. And you can take that time back for yourself to calm down the morning.
Yeah.
But you have to really detach from it and make sure that they know, even if you have to make up an excuse for why you can't help them do something, I think it's worthy, because I think they, when they talk about it now, because they're adults, those were some of their best bonding moments, because they were also taking care of each other.
And problem solving.
And so it's cool.
I love, Alice, another, I think this is so important too, and you write about taking the time to connect with your child and your partner before you leave. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about kind of those tangible, logistical things that you can do to make it more calm, to make it easier, to make it more seamless, but having a moment to just connect with each other. I especially think, I mean, your kids are, it's important, but I really think this is so important with your partner.
My son, who's in kindergarten, he has this thing, like, he does like 10 hugs, which is great. Sometimes we have to go. But it does really set a good tone for leaving, and especially if you've had, I think if you're thinking of like, how do you navigate after those bad mornings?
Yeah.
Like you have the power and the control. Instead, when those bad things happen, say, I should not have yelled at you. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry we had a bad morning. I don't want you to go to school like this. I'm sorry this, but I would really like you to put on your shoes the first time I ask you, not the fifth time.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, like however that is, and that you get to have that hug and you get to say I love you and you get to say like have a great day at school. I think like sometimes that you forget that with your significant other.
100%.
Crazy mornings where you are just like zooming everywhere and, you know, like, but it is like, I mean, we hug and kiss every time we say goodbye and leave the house, say goodnight. I mean, and it really just sets a different tone and connection for our family when we can do that. And at night when we, you know, go to bed, it's just, it really connects you back to your family. And you remember that your kids forgive you and you forgive your kids and your significant other when there are those chaotic times. It's kind of like the reset button, I think, when you have a bad morning.
Okay, so great.
Here's the question for you two moms. So you've had a really bad morning. You know, you've yelled, you were telling them to get their boots on. They wouldn't, you've lost it. Let's just say you've lost it because we've all been there, right? We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's the choice, because I can remember the days of just literally like shoving them out of the car. Like, we're so late. We're so, it's like, just get out. You know, it's just got to go. There were no 10 hugs. You know, it's just get out. Get
no.
out. Get out. You're going to be late. On a really bad morning, do you just say, screw it. We're all going to be late. And we're just going to take a moment. And we're going to be together, or we're going to stop, you know, somewhere and have a quick little, you know, breakfast together and just have them be late for school. Would you ever do that? Or do you still feel that pressure that, no, they got to be on time?
I don't feel that way about them, but my kids aren't in actual school. You know, they're like in daycare and
right.
preschool. I feel like that more. I mean, sometimes it's just not an option with me. It's like, right. I've got to go because right. I've got 10 people waiting on me for a shoot
right.
that I'm already late to. Alice knows I show up late to her shoots. I mean, it's and it's like, here's what happened.
So, Alice, what would your choice be if you could?
You know what? I honestly have never thought about that, about like, oh, let's just go for breakfast. Like, I think I'm super strict about schedule, like, and run late a lot too. But like the other day when you know, we had the doors flying open and I'm honking my horn to get the bus and stuff, like, there was not a beautiful moment where I'm like, hey, let's go.
Right. And
like,
I think
because it's the same thing. I had to get to a meeting too. But I mean, I think even in that moment, like, there was a, I love you guys. Like, you know, and that's what I could do. But I tend to be more strict about like not missing school. So I guess I would just say, for me, it probably, I would just continue to get them to wherever they have to go, because I probably have to be somewhere too at the same time.
Yeah. And therein lies the problem. Or, you know, problem, that's a big word. But I mean, that, I think that's part of what's difficult about being a mom working in the home, being a mom working outside the home, is the inflexibility of the schedules.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a hard thing.
Yeah, it is. It's just hard. You did say something. Yeah, go ahead, Els.
Can I talk a little bit about that too? Just because I think that, you know, one of the other things is that I do occasionally, probably once or twice a week, I'll get up at like 5:30. My kids have to be on the bus at 8:40, so that gives me some extra time. But I get up and I used to think like that is about the worst idea ever. I will never get like 5:30. But what I've found is that it gives me some extra time to just kind of find some balance of like my mind, and that like I can drink some coffee. Sometimes I'll find time for whatever like my passion projects are. So I know like a lot of moms are always like, I don't have time to read, or like for me, I'm a writer. So that's the time I can do the things that really bring me some joy. And even if it's once a week, that's some extra time. Sometimes I find too, like if I'm in the middle of a morning and I check my work email or a text comes in, like that's pretty triggering for me, and like will shuffle my morning, and like then my mind is like on that. So if I can devote that time before my kids are even up to do some of the work stuff that I want to get done, that can really help. But the other thing I was thinking of too, about, you know, Marjorie, how you kind of talk about like this is the life, and this is kind of what you're, when you work outside the home, or if you're trying to balance a lot of things, I think there are points too where you have to ask yourself, like, you know, is this the life that I want to lead? Yep. Is this the mom that I want to be? For a while, we were having a really hard time in our house. Our kids were in before and after school care because of our work schedules. And I decided one year during my like contract negotiations, I asked for more of a flexible schedule so I could put my kids on the bus. So that was one step for me that I decided we're not going to do the before school care anymore because it's too chaotic and nobody is benefiting from this. And I was able to ask for that and instead of something else or whatever in my for my job. The other thing that I did that has worked well for us is I took a new job this last year and took my hours down and work a more flexible schedule that gives me more time to be at home every morning to get my kids on the bus. But it also gives me some other time to do, you know, my passion project work and to be home with my kids more on like off school days. So I think so many times as moms too who work outside the home we're just pushed so hard to like you have to make this much money or you have to have this position. And I was feeling that. And this last year I kind of took a step back and said like, what if I made less money and got something else with my kids, like time with my kids, or
what would that look like?
Or could volunteer in their schools or write more. What would that look like? And I think it's hard for us, like, who are, you know, people who are always trying to, you know, just do outstanding things, like, to take a step back and, like, you don't have to be the best at everything and you can just, you know, take some time and do something different. And I think that's when I talk about life change, like, whatever that might look like in your home that you could, you know, try and see if that might be something for you too.
Well, I think that's a really important point. And it goes back to, I think, you know, we can talk about morning chaos and all the things, but what I take away and what I have lived is that big question is, what is the kind of mom I want to be? Am I being the mom I want to be? You know, we started this conversation talking about our miscarriages. We all can look at this with great gratitude that we have children. So if you look at that with great gratitude, I have children, I have been given children. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift. So in the middle of all of the chaos, of all of the jobs, of all of the work, of all of the striving, somewhere in there, you have to make room for the question, is this the mom I want to be? Is this why I had children? And I will tell you, sometimes that question will come from your children. You know, in my case, when my older son Gar was 5, I was working in a really difficult job that required a lot of work after work. It required a lot of thinking. I was a news producer. It required a lot of, it was very intense. And actually, Gar was, I think he was 5, and we were just sitting together. You know, it was at the end of another long day, and I would literally leave for work at about very early, and I would get home late. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, do you think you could have the kind of job where I would just see you at some point during the day like I see Dad?
Oh, man.
And I quit 6 weeks later.
Look at that. And that's the shift.
Like, and that's the shift because it was like, it was so reasonable. Like, you would like to see your mother. That's a reasonable request. And I think, you know, I think everybody's going to find their way. There's no wrong way. There's no right way. For me, in that moment, I thought, sure, I can do that. I'm going to figure that out. So it's all you need to do, though, is some point ask the question.
This is great, you guys. Alice, thank you so much. We could talk to you all day. You have to promise us you'll come back to Best to the Nest, okay?
Oh, I would love to. Thank you.
Oh, we love you. All right, we'll see you soon, Alice. Thank you so much. What a joy, Marjorie.
That was an absolute joy.
I mean, it's just fun. We laughed, we cried.
We did.
It was real talk, sister.
And I feel calm.
I know. I do too. And again, I have not even had any coffee, and I have been up since 5 o'clock.
Freaking me out a little bit, I gotta say. Freaked out
by
that.
Oh, you guys, listen, thank you so much for joining in on the conversation. You got to follow us on social media, Best to the Nest. That's what we are on Instagram and Twitter. And we're posting things. We love the interaction. We're already getting suggestions of people who want to come on our podcast and want to talk more about this concept, Marjorie.
Everybody's welcome. We'll get to y'all.
Does that mean it's a hit? I don't know. We'll find out. All right, Marjorie, until next week. I love you.
Until next week. Love you too.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.